everybody. This is the Dirt Reporters for April 3rd, 2024. I'm Kevin Kovac from Dirt on Dirt. I'm joined by my colleagues over here from Dirt on Dirt, our reporter Kyle McFadden, and a first timer. This is he joins the club now. He joins the podcast club. This is our Dirt on Dirt weekend editor, Aaron Clay. He's joining us this week. Yeah, Derek Kessinger's not available, and Todd Turner. He will be soon returning. He's returned from his sabbatical, and we'll be having him on the show again very soon. He's got to get back in the flow a little bit this week. But Aaron, hey, that's what I want to talk to first. I want to introduce you a little bit to Aaron. He's been our weekend editor and much else also with Dirt or Dirt on Dirt for more over a year now. And his specialty is race wires, the live updates on the weekends and doing all the results, which is what our topic is going to be a little bit later. We'll be talking to him about that. But Aaron, he's a West Coaster, too. So I just wanted to, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and, your background in racing and how you came about to be in this position with Dirt on Dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for having me. Yeah, it is it's in the morning over here still, which we talked about that before I came on. It's early over here still. But yeah, born and raised in Tucson, Arizona. I still live here. People ask me why, and I guess I just have a lot of friends and family here. But anyways, I started going to the races when I was a kid. My dad took me. We had a local asphalt track, which I know is not really our thing, for Dirt on Dirt. But it was something we did every weekend. So we saw some of the best racers in the country at some points in Tucson and, racing almost year round because the weather is so nice. So that was fun. And then once I became in my late teens or early 20s, we had a dirt track open up and everyone knows it. But, USA Raceway was probably its more common name when it hosted the Wild West Shootout. And that was my home track, 20 minutes away from home. And going and seeing guys like RC Whitwell and Garrett Albertson, and that was our local, when we had our Southwest guys come around, those were our main guys that we would see, at least once a month. And
Parker too, right? Wouldn't be Lonnie Parker would be a big Parkers. Winner right there, right? He was always up front.
Not everyone knows about the Parkers, so that's cool that Lonnie Senior and Craig Parker. Parker family runs deep here in Arizona with dirt late model stuff. But so kind of bittersweet though, because obviously the track is defunct and it's now going to become an industrial site, it seems. So any chances of us having a dirt track in Tucson are, seem to be gone, but that's why we have cars. I'll drive if I have to. I'll go find a race somewhere.
Yeah. Your options aren't really big out there, I guess, for late model racing. Now you have your time, like in New Mexico races, and when you had the Wild West Shootout, you have some shows, but yeah, tell everybody how far you have to go to get to some late model races.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scarce right now. I've been to Votto a handful of times. That's a 4-hour drive for me, straight east, which is different. I usually go west to go to events. We do have some of our Southwest Dirt Racing Association. That's our, regional touring series, but that's kind of even fallen off the wayside here. It feels like ever since COVID, honestly, it feels like it's never really kind of gotten its legs back underneath it, but I can go catch a show at Casa Grande, Central Arizona Raceway. It's about an hour drive or so for me. So that's not too far. And then, there's, Cocoa Pod, which is down in Yuma, which is 4 hours west. You're practically in California at that point, but obviously not a lot of late model stuff going on down there lately. So yeah, a lot of driving if I want to see racing and not a lot of late model stuff for me. So that's, I'm mostly, working behind the scenes, like you said.
Yeah. Well, he started off with Dirt on Dirt as kind of our, one of our RaceWire live update guys on the weekends. And then he became full time. How long has it been now, Aaron?
Yeah. Since 2019, is when I started helping out. I was part-time up until a little over a year ago, mm-hmm. came on full time with it, but yeah, so I'm channeling my inner Todd Turner with those uh-huh. updates, and I try to make everyone think that it's Todd doing all that stuff, because hopefully, we come off with a similar style, because we try to make everything uniform and have a flow to it, so. That's the goal.
I think you enjoy working in racing. A full-time job in the racing world, it's probably been something you really enjoy.
it's surreal. When I talk to people, like even racers, local racers that I talk to out from like our asphalt track, like, oh, what are you doing nowadays? I'm like, I work for Flow Racing, you know, dirt on dirt. And they're like, wow, you make money covering races. I'm like, yes, that's what I do. They're like, wow, we can't make money at all, even though we're racers. I'm like, I know. So it's obviously, it's not the money. Obviously, we got to pay our bills, but I feel blessed just to cover racing for a living. You know, that's what we all do. That's what we all love to do. And that's what we, you know, that's our passion. So I feel like I'm a
big weekend too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we had a big weekend this past weekend here at last weekend in March. Everything seemed like it had been getting rained out mostly all spring, it seemed. And we hadn't had too many races each weekend, but we had a full complement, it seemed like. No national tour racing this past weekend, but we had, you know, a good more than a half dozen races each Friday and Saturday. And some bigger ones also, more than half of our top 25 raced. And just kind of talk. One thing I want to start off with, though, that was the big news before the weekend started, and kind of fall back here on what we did last week. We reset the national tours, right, Kyle? And this was our, because we at that point we still thought Bobby Pierce wouldn't be a World of Outlaws regular. Well, they come back with the appeals commission, and they changed his suspension for the tire violations. No more suspension. They only took one race worth of points. The race that he had gotten the violation in at Volusia. So now he's back to 16th in points, but he could still win it. Now he's not totally out. He can come back. And I personally felt that was the good call by the appeal commission. I thought that they should, it wasn't equal like with Devin Moran's and Kyle Bronson's. It didn't all go across the board where it affected them as much as it's affecting Bobby Pierce. And it's hard to lose an entire season. And I think Kyle, you'll probably agree with me on this one where, yeah, it was probably a good alteration of the rule of the penalty to let Bobby Pierce still compete for a title this year.
Absolutely. It's first and foremost, thanks Aaron for joining us here on the show. It's always nice to see you continue to kind of branch out and discuss like some of these topics with us. And it's, I think when we all did Fast Talk, I mean, Aaron's also usually in our Fast Talk panel breaking these like situations down. I think we all agreed that the initial penalties of the 4-race/30-day suspension and close to 250-point penalty and a boatload of fines was way too steep. And so to back that down to a little over $10,000 fine and 144-point penalty, or no, 150-point penalty, the 144-point penalty was taken back, was definitely the right move. Because, I mean, if you look back at last year, like, can Bobby Pierce come back from that? Yeah, he absolutely can. I mean, but like last year, he beat out Chris Madden by 114 points in what, you know, we labeled as a pretty dominant season. So when you put that like in perspective, yeah, I mean, he's going to have to swim upstream if he really wants to be or continue in the title fight. But the big thing is obviously the no. Like he can race now and doesn't have to have that like suspension loom over him. And like, if you look at like any other professional racing series, right? I don't see, like, you see in NASCAR, obviously like NASCAR is completely different, and I'm not trying to like draw too many comparisons here, but whenever you see some kind of like violation or penalty on a race team, you don't see a driver get cracked down that hard. And so usually it's a crew chief, a car chief, like somebody on the team, like in. And so I think it's great. And so I think they did the right thing. That's why the Outlaws have their appeals commission. And so I for sure think that they made the right ruling in that regard. So it's nice to see that come to pass, and glad to see Bobby Pierce move forward from all of this. I think we're all just, once I saw the appeals last week come out, and that like final ruling, I was kind of like, okay, like we can finally move past this now. So it's good to see that, and good to see them kind of find some sort of middle ground.
Yeah, it's like, that's what the appeal commission is for. I mean, the World Racing Group's had that a long time. The whole ever since the World Racing Group became the World Racing Group, when they the Boundless Motorsports back in 2005 or whatever it was, when they purchased, or 2003 purchased the Dirt Motorsports company up in the Northeast. Dirt Motorsports always had an appeals. I mean, I grew up going to big block races, and there was always an appellate board, they would call it, and you could at least state your case. They didn't overturn the decision of the tire violation on any of the three drivers, but they at least looked at it and wanted to get the fairest way of a penalty. And that's, by the way, here too, racetrack promoters that have World of Outlaws races wouldn't be too happy to not have Bobby Pierce coming to their races this year. I mean, they did not expect that. They were, when they booked their races, they were expecting the driver who won $1 million and was one of the top drivers in the country last year, the defending champion, to be at their races. And he's a big draw. Right, Aaron? I mean, like there's something there. If you don't have Bobby Pierce at your race, that would have been one big loss for the World of Outlaws, and at least, and now they get him, have, he has to come back. It's almost like he was handicapped to the rear here, to the 24th starting spot, and he has to come back to the front.
Man, America loves a comeback story, so I'm already anxious to see, you know, how long it takes for him to get back to the top. And you're right, it would have been interesting to see where he would have actually raced throughout the year if he didn't, you know, stick to the World of Outlaws schedule, which we expected that he would not stick to it, obviously, with the penalties. So it's nice that he's back like to his normal, you know, the schedule that we all thought he was going to run. I just, in the rumor, you know, the news on social media, if you will, or the rumblings I've seen, is that maybe it's gone too soft. Like maybe the penalties aren't enough, which I could see that argument. I just don't want it to ever be where drivers are, you know, intentionally doing like cheating or intentionally doing something with their tires because the penalties are too soft and not stiff enough. But I kind of feel like this is a perfect balance, like you've mentioned, where it slaps the wrist enough to, you know, hopefully prevent it from happening again. But at the same time, it doesn't, you know, kill a guy's season or, you know, prevent him from running the whole season, you know, before April even. So that, you know, that was a little bit too extreme, but I think we got to kind of right in the middle here, where it's a nice sweet spot, if you will.
Yeah, it's not a situation where he was caught with a tire and then kept the race too. I mean, Devin Moran, he ended up having he was disqualified from the race. Ricky Thornton got an extra win on his resume now this year, because he finished second in that dirt car race at Volusia. So things have switched around. It's not like you just got, you got scot-free there and you're able to keep your win. So someone not going to do this in some big race, just expecting to win and be able to keep it. That's not the kind of penalty that they've put out here. So, and of course, Bobby Pierce won. He came back this weekend, come back and wins a race at Maquoketa. I'm not even sure how to say that. Do you know that, Aaron? Do you know how to say
it's Maquoketa?
Where the Nippy 50 Maquoketa. Man, that's a.
I was thinking.
You know that, Kyle?
I'm drinking a Coke.
I did not.
Yeah.
No, that was really Maquoketa. Smooth there from Aaron. It was rolled off the tongue nicely. I'm impressed.
Mike Roofer. I went to the Mike Roofer school of how to pronounce random Iowa track names. And I don't know. I think I heard him. He does a lot of the local stuff for us, you know, over the summer months from Iowa. And he was interviewing one of like the Malvern Bank drivers that won. He's like, I'm here at Maquoketa. I'm like, oh, that's how you say it. Okay. I made a mental note
there
of that.
There we go. So. That is one of the tougher names there. It's like kind of like Sonoya. So no, yeah. Everybody down there in no. Georgia has a different pronunciation. It seems like about that Georgia track, but yeah, well that Maquoketa was where the big race was. Jeff Hoker, the big sponsor of a lot of guys, of course, Bobby Pierce and Ricky Thornton, Chris Simpson's another one, trucking company owner. He promoted that. It was his first promotion. He had some partners and had a pretty good, seemed like a pretty good weekend. He was able to nail down some decent weather for the late March in Iowa. And any thoughts on how that weekend from both of you, how that weekend went? You know, Ricky Thornton won the finale for 20,000. Bobby Pierce won the Friday for 10. Start with you, Kyle.
Yeah, it's good to see. I feel like, you know, back to, let's just start with Maquoketa, right? Is that how you say that, Aaron?
No? Maquoketa. You got to drink a Coke.
Maquoketa. That's right. Drink Maquoketa.
Ricky Thornton and Bobby Pierce battling it out for the win there on Saturday night. And then obviously, as we said, Bobby Pierce picking up that win on Friday. I thought like it wasn't the deepest field, but in terms of like, I mean, they had a full field, 25 cars both nights. It was a stout, as good of a, I felt like it was as good of a field late March in Iowa, in between kind of the series breaks, heading into spring. I mean, you couldn't ask, I feel like, for a much better field there in Austin. Or, and then on that same note, the racing that it turned out too. I hadn't seen any laps or highlights of that place and that track, and it I certainly see why that Jeff Hoker chose that place. Obviously, he was pretty well rooted and pretty well involved at Davenport, and so I know that there was a kind of a shift in vision there in terms of you know, where he wanted to take his race, and so. And I say it turned out as well as it could have. And so it was nice to see. I heard Ricky Thornton Jr.'s comments in Victory Lane. He didn't really know where to be the whole race. And not because he couldn't like make his car work at any part of the racetrack or on any part of the racetrack. It was just so fluid, I felt like, with just where and so it kept drivers on their toes. So with just how that place raced. And so watching that kind of play out was definitely a breath of fresh air and definitely worthwhile. And then if we run down here kind of some of the quick hitters, Dale McDowell getting back in the victory lane and rising up to the 13th spot too in our top 25 poll. Max Blair, I mean, he's been cooking here of late. I think he has 7 top fives now. In his last 10 races, he picked up the toilet bowl win at Clarksville, and then Ashton Winger and Dalton Wilson picked up $10,000 victories on Friday. So definitely as busy of a weekend as you can get in late March, and I'm sure Aaron can testify to that. He was on top of race wires all week long. So it was certainly a good weekend for us this past last weekend of March here.
Maybe I can, this could be a good segue there when he's talking about the race wires this weekend. I will say Maquoketa was a good weekend there. It will be back already. Jeff Hoker announced that it will be back for a second year in 2025, last weekend in March. I think it's March 28th, 29th next year. So everybody, you know, hopefully he can start drawing up some good weather, you know, like ordering up some good weather for that weekend again. But for the whole weekend itself, there were some good car counts, you know, really good car counts down in the South too, at some of these shows. I mean, Aaron, this is our topic for the week that we want to discuss about. Aaron is our weekend editor of Dirt on Dirt, which means that he sort of handles all the race wires that we put up, which is the live updates, the results of the races in the weekly results. He took that over from Todd during Todd's sabbatical. Those are like the top fives and top tens that we put up. That's not a race wire. It's a heck. We've been doing it a long time. Since 2014, just race wires. Been live updates before that, but it's been the race wire format. Now this is the 10th year for that on Dirt on Dirt, and Aaron took it over last year, and he's the one, he puts together the previews, the RaceWire previews, and then updates them most of the time. We wouldn't want you doing, nobody wants to do RaceWire live updates every weekend though, right? Right, Aaron, because it is a tough, tedious, long job on a weekend, on Fridays and Saturdays, especially.
It can create some long nights of work, but it's obviously, you know, a good cause, you know, Covenant Racing. So no complaints. But I was joking because someone from the accounting side on from Flow Racing, they reached out to me, you know, wondering what our budget was looking like for the year, because we do have a couple part timers that help us out throughout the year with RaceWire, and they're like, oh well, why are we utilizing them? I'm like, well, that kind of lets me have a night off, so it's kind of nice to have one of those, one of those a month is nice. It's nice to have a Friday or Saturday off, you know, if you can get one, but you know, otherwise we're pretty much hammered down for the race season. And like you said, this past weekend was kind of like our first real busy weekend of the year. So,
yeah, Aaron, just explain a little bit, like the fans that are viewers and readers of Dirt on Dirt. They don't understand how much does go into these race wires each week. It's not just they aren't created by themselves. That information doesn't get in there by itself. You know, so we don't have AI doing this, right, Aaron? So, but we have AC, Aaron Clay, doing it, but no AI. Right? And just this explain, how do you get all this information? How is all that able to be kind of put into? There's a lot of searching around, I guess, the Facebook pages to get the info, just even for previews, and then the actual results.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I usually use social media just to narrow in the details of the event. So like the event name, the starting times, like the times that the pits open, the gates open, the grandstands open, what time, you know, cars hit the track, those details, what's on the undercard, if there's anything else racing that night. Otherwise, for like the actual series information, the track history, it's all on Dirt on Dirt. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that caught me, you know, that caught my attention working for Dirt on Dirt, is how much information we have on the site. Historicals, you can pull up all the old series information at any track. You can pull up a specific track and just look at the details, you know, who's won there the last 10 years. You can go look that up quickly and easily. So that's, I usually use just the information off of Dirt on Dirt, you know, the back end, so to say, that historical data. And that's what I like to reference that when I create the race wires, to like to, you know, give out three or four drivers who's been hot or who's won in the past, or, you know, kind of who to keep an eye on, if you will, to, you know, anyone who might be paying attention to that race, or if they just want to read up on it themselves, you know, here's going to be three guys right off the bat that you could probably pencil in as contenders for that night, you know?
What's the actual live updating like too? I guess it has gotten a little, Kyle's been around for 2 years now, but he's seen, he'd also seen our race wires before that. And he knows how much the streaming has come along too. So there was a point, there wasn't many races, all the races pretty much on RaceWire that if it would be one of us, a staffer for Dirt on Dirt, or one of our stringers like Aaron was at one point, where, man, most of those races weren't streamed. So the way you had to get them, the results, this has definitely helped, because the race way you had to get them was just looking at Race Monitor or My Race Pass or just getting updates on Twitter or something. I mean, that's changed the game a little bit. Definitely helped out now, where, well, you can't watch everything at one time, right, Aaron? I mean, I imagine you probably have some screens all over the place, but if there's multiple races on, but it definitely has helped be able to get some results, not having to rely on those scoring apps and all.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Again, I think I had, you know, 10 windows open on my laptop on a Saturday. I got, you know, I have my normal TV, you know, with my Flow Racing app. So I usually have like the biggest Flow Racing race on my big screen, and then just, you know, a couple smaller ones I could pick through and keep an eye on throughout the evening on my laptop. But man, you know, we used to just only have Race Monitor for a while, which, you know, that was good. But if someone's transponder came off or something crazy happened with the live scoring and you didn't know, you think you got it, you know, this guy led all the way. Well, no, he didn't. You know, someone else's transponder fell off and he actually won. And so, you know, there's sometimes where we have to go back and clean stuff up. But, you know, My Race Pass has made it all the more easy, you know, all the easier, just having that, that extra, you know, app to be able to pick from. The entries are great to be able to rely on. The results at the end of the night, you know, if they have to make any adjustments, you can see the results in, even in comparison to the live timing that they had. All of that is great. But like you said, the streaming makes it so much easier. And frankly, almost every race that we're covering with a RaceWire nowadays, just about all of them are streamed in some fashion. So thankfully, a lot of the other streaming partners have opened their doors to us and let us at least have access to be able to view the streams. That way we can, you know, give that detailed information on the RaceWires. But yeah, you're right, though. Just a handful of years ago, you know, sometimes you were kind of, I think this is kind of what happened. I'm just going to kind of, you know, vague it up a little bit. And I think this guy made a move. You know, he probably was on the outside. If Jason Fager, he probably was on the outside to make that move. You know what I mean? Like, you can kind of, you know, you can jump to some conclusions without speculating too much. But the live streaming era that we're in now just makes it all, you know, so much easier to cover that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Kyle, you've done some live updates too over your time here. And all of us kind of come on late on a night, on a weekend night too, because then the photos start coming in when, you know, we clean up some things or finish off putting notes up if Aaron's doing some other race wires like on a busier weekend. And some weekends though are bigger though, right, Kyle? I mean, some weekends are bigger than others, and you get like more results and you have more stuff to do. And there's one frustration that I always have, I know that, is just when you're looking for say the My Race Pass does go out or Race Monitor goes out or something like that, and then you're looking for finishes and the series or the track doesn't put the finish up maybe 24 hours, maybe longer. There's some of them that don't put them up for longer than that. There's not many press releases that come out from tracks anymore. And I would imagine you've seen that. How frustrated have you gotten, Kyle, of not seeing these finishes go up when they should be?
I think there was a few races last year that like my race pass was messed up and didn't turn out the right results, and we had like we were not aware of that for a few days, and so that's definitely like frustrating, especially when, like, you know, you're trying to stay on top of things. I mean, Aaron is certainly, it's impressed me that he's been able to, you know, track down and wrangle down and make his case and claim his case for racetracks to start, you know, buttoning these things up. You would think that like in 2024 that this wouldn't be an issue, and that the results of, you know, a racetrack and what you're trying to establish as a racetrack, like that wouldn't be as much of an issue. But fortunately, like it's like, for the most part, I would say like 97%, 5% of racetracks, you know, they do stay on top of that and it's actually accurate. But yeah, but as far as us and like us reporters go and where we come in to back up Aaron on the weekends, like, you know, I'll usually stay up until 3:30 in the morning, you know, tending to like the race wires, looking through them, making edits. Usually there's not too many edits that have to be made on Aaron's race wires, but going in and just like adding some miscellaneous notes and like information, things that you pick up, as Aaron said, on Twitter, on like social media. Now this is my third year on the job, and so I'll text somebody or text a driver and ask them about this or that, and just add as many notes in these race wires as possible. And you never know like what you'll need in time or as time goes on. We can look back through race wires from years ago and check like when a guy like had a flat tire, for instance. One guy comes to mind with that, like Drake Troutman. Like I was able to write a story about him last year, and I was able to calculate, you know, how many flat tires he's had over the past or over his whole summer. I know he doesn't really like me mentioning that, but that's fact, and it tells a story as to the struggles that a driver could have. And that's just what makes us, I feel like, stand out at Dirt on Dirt, right? Is we keep notes and we keep tabs on everything that happens in the sport. I've always said that Dirt on Dirt is the Bible of dirt late model racing. And so it's just, it doesn't come close. And so any note and anything that we can add to enhance the experience for the race fan, you know, that's what I look for. And I'm certainly would have to say that you guys would have to say the same too. As far as busyness goes, Aaron, I have a question for you. Would you say that Memorial Day weekend, it doesn't come close? No other weekend comes close. It's bar none. Like, that is our Super Bowl. Like, that's playoff time. Like, nobody can drop the ball come that weekend. And I'm from DC, like from the DC Baltimore area. I say if you can drive in DC and if you can drive in Baltimore, you can drive traffic wise anywhere across the world. I would have to say if you can navigate Memorial Day weekend, you can certainly work for dirtondirt.com.
Absolutely. Memorial Day weekend is by far our busiest of the year. In fact, I actually appreciate it because even Michael Rigsby would pop into our group, our team chat, and, hey, you guys are doing great. You know, keep up the good work. Like, these motivational, you know, pick-me-ups. I'm like, I need that every weekend. Rigsby, come on, you know. But especially on Memorial Day weekend, you know, when it's that busy, you know, it was just made for long nights. And I don't believe I ever left my house that whole weekend. But that's okay. You know, that's, like you said, we know it going in. That's our time, our crunch time, if you will. And just got to hunker down and, you know, 15 race wires a night, whatever it is, and just do the best you can with it and see where we're at when the dust settles and, you know, clean it up and go on to the next weekend.
Yeah, those Memorial Day weekends are, and Labor Day weekend's a big one too. 4th of July, yeah. You know, it's not a weekend all the time, obviously, but heck, sometimes it makes it even busier when the 4th of July is in the middle of the week, because then everybody will run a day before and after that. It just kind of stretches the number of races that go out when you have that midweek, you know, Independence Day. It's crazy. Like those week, I mean, there's the many, many times it's the sun's coming up, right, Aaron? And you're even have a little advantage being on the West Coast, you know, you're on that Southwest there, a 3-hour time difference. So, when we're here waiting for a Southern race to get over with at 2 a.m. or something, or 1 a.m, some of those bad nights when things are going late, I mean, at least it's not after midnight for you, right, Aaron?
Yeah, I try not to start complaining until it's about 11 o'clock my time, because that means it's really late, probably wherever that race is taking place.
Yes. You know?
But yeah, no, you're 100% right on that too. You know, there's been times where I'm even covering a feature at, you know, 6:30 or 7 o'clock my time, which is weird. It's like, it's not even dark yet and we're doing features. Okay. But that's fine though, because it's nice that you'll get a couple early ones, hopefully, and you'll get, you know, couple an hour or two after that, and then maybe a couple stragglers that you can focus on. It's nice when they spread out, which I was complaining to you this past weekend was not very spread out. I had eight race wires all within an hour. They all ended within an hour of each other. So I'm like scrambling, trying to put in headlines, trying to put in results. Oh no, this other race is ending. Let me stop what I'm doing here and go cover that one real quick. Okay, I got notes. I know what happened that one. Oh wait, this other one's about to end. No, I got to stop to put the results in on
straight.
The first one.
It's hard to keep them straight sometimes, right?
Man, it's juggling. It's you're covering races and you're juggling which one you want to cover. Well, you know, which one maybe takes precedence over some of the other ones. So I try to channel my inner Todd Turner and do what would Todd do? You know, I ask myself that a lot. What would Todd want to do in this case? So hopefully I've gotten a little better with that over the years. And, you know, those, just there'll be times where, you know, three races end at the same time, and sometimes mama said there'll be days like that, you know.
Yep. Todd also, he does the weekly results. That's kind of not always live updates on those, but there's our weekly results. You can go up on the top there on Dirt on Dirt website, and you can check out. I mean, there's probably there could be 100 racetracks, I think, a week, right? That have a, you know, at least the top five in there, a couple other little notes. And Todd scours the internet to find these again, because most tracks, it's not like before the internet, it seemed like every racetrack sent out a press release. They fast tracks the press release out or something. More of like going to their Facebook page and finding them. And I the thing I've always, like,
oh, I think we lost Kevin.
I think we lost Kevin there.
But he's right though. With social media age nowadays, you know, it's so much easier.
Did I freeze up there for a second? I'm sorry. I think it froze up when I was saying about Todd's scouring of the internet to find these find these results, and he would always you'd always see pop up on you know on your Facebook feed, and it would say just a thing from Todd Turner, say some random track in the somewhere, and it would just say results question mark. You know, that's all Todd would post there on their as of one of their comments. Results question mark, results question mark. And it would be it you always see it. I think he's taken that off so it doesn't show up on his, you know, like anybody who's following him. I think he has a separate one for that, but that shows the frustration though of like, come on, get your results up here, because if you don't want Todd Turner asking you for your results every week on your Facebook page, then put them up there in a timely manner. Correct, right, Kyle?
Absolutely. It's always nice, like, timeliness in this sport, especially as, I mean, we've had all these conversations, especially recently, just how timeliness is growing more vital and growing more of a virtue, you know, as the internet age continues to evolve and social media age, actually, probably is the better way to term it, continues to have more of a foothold in our sport, which isn't a bad thing, right? I feel like you know, needing to be more timely and like timeliness, like it's a good thing, as it's just people want it now and people want it in front of them as quickly as possible. So, and it's just good to, yeah, it's just good to have everything at once in front of you. So certainly an appreciation that I have for Aaron and Todd. And I mean, we have a hand in that too, but we more so come in, as I said earlier, come in from behind and kind of back them up and more so enhance and just add to some of these race wires and news and notes. And it all takes a team of us, right, to make this whole thing go around. And I think Michael Rigsby told me this one time that Dirt on Dirt is a living, breathing baby that needs fed every single day. And he's certainly not wrong.
Yeah, those results are a big part of the race wires and the results, big part of Dirt on Dirt. You can, it's a part of history too. As soon as it goes on there, you can go back and look. You go back to our catch-all page in the upper right corner, and you could see everything that's been posted for all the years of Dirt on Dirt since 2007. And I think a big thing of having nobody is going to go to 100 Facebook pages except Todd Turner and Aaron to find these results, to find results on their own. I mean, you need somewhere where it's like the clearinghouse of results. And I think that's one of the things that, I mean, we have stories and videos and photos and all on the website, but having those results every weekend, is pretty cool, a little feature of it. And it lets everyone come here and you can expect to see it. Not everyone's getting a million clicks, I don't think, each one, because some might be a crate race that doesn't have like the biggest following, but those people that are in it, they're watching it. They want to know what happened. And also I want to, we have some stringers too, some guys that do. We have my boy Jeremy Peters, we got Cole Perkins, mm-hmm. you know, we have some others that began like at Aaron. And Aaron, I'm sure you would throw out the word there if you're a race fan out there listening to this and you'd like to make a couple extra bucks on a weekend sometimes and you like racing and you'll watch them anyway. If you're good with some words and enough to words that you could put some things on, you know, take some notes down and follow some races along, and hey, find Aaron's email address and send him a note and say you'd like to join up and maybe cover some weekend races, right, Aaron?
You know, I don't even know who introduced my name, or you know how my name got brought up into the, you know, to Todd's ear is likely how that went, but at some point Todd reached out to me, I think it was probably the end of 2018. He's like, hey, you know, we kind of have seen what you do covering the Wild West Shootout. And I'm in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, yeah, that's my local track and I have a cell phone, so I can do that. That's what I do. And he's like, well, we'd like for you to, you know, maybe help us out every now and then on the weekends. And I was like, okay, sure. That sounds like fun. No idea what I was getting into. No idea, you know, how detailed we were or, you know, how seriously we'd really take it, obviously. So I try to take it seriously going into it, but it's just been eye-opening how much detail we have on the website, how much history, like I said, there's so much going on there. I think the biggest thing I've learned too, you know, covering these races for so long, there's people you can rely on in certain areas of the country to have an update or, hey, are you at that race tonight? What happened? Can you give me the scoop? You know, like you said, Cole Perkins, big, he covers a lot of stuff in the Southeast. You know, there's a lot of guys in the Southeast, obviously. That's a hotbed for late model stuff. Mike Roofer is one of our regular photographers, but he covers a lot of the regional stuff in the Midwest. So it's kind of, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's important to know who your valuable resources are to help you get through a busy night or that you can maybe lean on to give you that extra detail that, you know, that the live timing app maybe doesn't give you.
Yeah. So again, anybody who's, you know, like interested, they watch races on the weekend, you know, they like racing, they'd like to maybe join up here and they could take it a little farther there and cover some races, you know, while they're watching them. Just contact us, send us a note, you know, Aaron, me, Kyle, Todd, anybody, any of us. And maybe we can hook you up and then we could bring you on board and we could develop you, maybe be a full timer sometime like Aaron has, you know, we'll see what kind of talent you have and what, you know, that put you in the right spot. But we're going to head over to one more thing. We'll close out the week, but our one more thing, we'll start off with Kyle.
I was going to add to that and then I'll get to my one more thing. It's like a farm system in baseball, right? We have to keep our farm system fresh and moving, right? And then you get the call up to the major leagues and it's go time, right? So,
that's right.
But yeah, a little baseball analogy there. But one more thing, weekly notebooks are going to be starting back up, I believe, this week. And so make sure to check that out on Thursday morning from here through the end of September or third week of September. So here, starting this week, going through the better part of this year, we will have weekly notebooks every Thursday morning, recapping every highlight and a rundown of the weekly highlights or weekly racing highlights from the past week with a featured driver as the lead. So make sure to stay tuned to that as race season gets ramped up here.
Yeah, hopefully one of Kyle's weekly racetracks that he's gone to a lot in his life, Port Royal Speedway, will finally get racing
at some point.
Every week, yeah. It seems like it rains out there at that place, and haven't gotten their O for March. They went through March, couldn't get one race in.
Three straight rainouts for them.
Yeah, weekly maybe this series. Week will be the
they
week.
Did,
this
week will be the week. They did get in right? their speed showcase. Yeah, they did get in that big block modified 50,000 to win race.
Yeah, no late models. That's right. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. No weekly racing yet for them. So yeah, it's been a painful go of it, but hopefully their fortunes turn around.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll go over to Aaron for one more thing. Your first one more thing with your debut podcast.
My first one more thing. I'm just going to highlight.
Gotta make it good. You got to make it good. Right. So
no pressure. I got you. Yep. Now, the Midwest Late Model Racing Association, or commonly known as the MLRA, they're kicking off their 2024 season this weekend with a doubleheader. Tri-City Speedway, that's Illinois' Tri-City, is where they're opening on Friday. And I believe that's going to be on Flow Racing. I always like watching the MLRA because a lot of those guys used to come down to Tucson. They used to kick off their season, you know, in the Wild West Shootout. And it's kind of just one of those like niche regional tours where sometimes you get a big name or two, like a national guy or two to hop in. But a lot of times it's, you know, kind of more heavy hitter regional type guys. But I love that mix of you get some youngsters making their first starts. You get some veterans that only race regional, but you get some national guys dip their toe in there too. So I'm going to definitely be having an eye on the weekend here for the MLRA to kick off their season.
Okay, yeah, and then I'll make my one more thing. I want to talk a little bit about the Dale and Brandon show down there in the Southeast. It was the Spring Nationals, and on Friday night at I-75 in Tennessee, Brandon Overton passes Dale McDowell to win on the last lap. And then on Saturday at the little Bill Cullum Memorial there at Tazewell, the big high banked racetrack in Tennessee, it was the opposite way. 75 lapper, Dale led the whole race over Brandon Overton the entire, I mean, Brandon ran second the entire race. So, and they're buddies. Brandon said in Victory Lane on Friday how much he's a buddy of Dale and Dale's brother Shane. And Dale came up behind Brandon in Victory Lane and gave him a big, you know, kind of a playful hug and joked around with him. And Dale even said, he goes, "Hey, it sucks to lose in the last lap, but at least it's with your buddy. At least you lost to your buddy. So that was good." So, and I have to just say this, I think you're going to see a lot more of that all this year, because Brandon Overton isn't running a national tour. So you're not going to see him out there. You're going to see him more in the Southeast, and that's going to make him and Dale McDowell run a lot of the same schedule this year. I mean, even when they go out on the road, you know, to Eldora or something, they'll both be there. So, man, those guys are going to be racing together at the front of the field a lot this year. So it should be fun. They should have a good buddy little system there this year to have some fun together. So keep an eye on the Dale and Brandon show all year long in the Southeast and beyond sometimes. So, but that's our show for this week, our Dirt Reporters podcast for the week of April 3rd. Thanks again to Aaron for coming on, making his debut. We'll have him on again sometime. Todd Turner will be back here soon. And also Derek, we'll be seeing his lovely face will be on here sometimes also. So thank you. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you again next week.